This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the latest episode of MFG Out Loud. We are on episode number 25 today. Hey, Allison. Boy, have we got a guest for you today. We're going to be talking about bridging the manufacturing skills gap with none other than Kathleen Burley, who's the executive director of GCAMP. I'll explain a little bit about what that's all about. You can't have a courageous conversation about growing your manufacturing business without addressing the skills gap question. And in the Chicago area, if you can't have a meaningful conversation about education and the skills gap without talking to Kathleen. It goes through her. Got it? Kathleen's diverse background includes, now get this, owning and growing her own manufacturing distribution company. So she's one of us genetically. Being a school board member and a legislative liaison, so she's always had that link in education. And now as the executive director for GCAMP, which is the Golden Corridor Advanced Manufacturing Partnership. And what they do specifically, they're a group of manufacturers, toolmakers, and educators that work together in partnership to change the perception of manufacturing and to promote manufacturing careers. So this is the good, important work that we were all kind of mumbling about 10 years and now we're desperate for today. Kathleen's in the thick of that fight right now. They partner with companies, help them build their manufacturing workforce. Allison and I have been LinkedIn buddies with Kathleen for a long, long time. Kathleen lives in the Chicago area, so I've had the privilege of meeting her for lunch at a few times and at local events and those types of activities. But we are so thrilled to have you with us today. Welcome to MFG Out Loud, Kathleen.
Well, thanks so much, Ray. Thanks for you and Allison having me on today. I appreciate it.
Happy you're here.
We are. So we're gonna jump right in. We want to have the courageous conversation. Let's get started. Kathleen, we all hear so much about the skills gap in manufacturing. What does that really mean to you? And what are the big obstacles that we're struggling to overcome?
The skills gap to me is basically what it is. It's a gap in the skills. It's not always just we need to find that workforce, but it's also taking the workforce that you have and making sure that you're upskilling them, making sure that the education is not something that stops and starts, but it's a lifelong thing. But the skills gap as we know it in the area and that everybody else knows it, basically is by 2025, I believe, there's going to be 2.5 million unfilled positions in companies. Around the country, not just in Chicago, but Chicago being such a prevalent in our area, industrial area, manufacturing focused area, we hear this all the time that they can't find people to fill positions at all levels: engineers, CNC programmers, setup guys, everything. So that's what the skills gap is, and that is what we're here to help companies combat and build.
Also, I know that's a big job, and you yourself kind of step outside of the normal bounds and collaborate with the other associations in the area or the MEPs like IMEC Illinois and those groups. I'm curious. You spend a lot of time in schools. I know I bumped into you at one of the local community colleges, but it's no longer just, hey, get to the colleges or get to the high schools. I mean, that message really needs to get out there even sooner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the goals that we have with GCAMP is once we can really get established this program that we have in our area high schools in getting manufacturers to understand the depth and the knowledge and the curriculum and the upscale machinery that's in the high schools in our area. But we want them to understand those programs and to feel comfortable with them. And then we need to start getting younger. We need to hit the seventh and eighth grade at least even down to fifth, sixth grade. Because once they get to high school, you know, you've been hearing about college your whole life. Mom and dad have been talking about college your whole life. You know, we have students that come in and they have no idea what an apprenticeship is. And apprenticeships are just gold for this industry. And we'll go into resources later. There's a lot of resources to go to that end, but you can't start educating students on careers when they're in high school. You can, but you have a much broader depth of understanding with parents and students. And parents are a huge part of this because they all still think back, not all of them, but they all still think that, oh gosh, you know, the guys in the 70s, you know, even in the 80s when I would go into shops and the OSHA standards, the safety standards were nothing like they are now.
Right.
And there were guys that were missing fingers and limbs and, you know, and it's dirty and it's grimy and it's just, you know, I don't want my kid doing that, even though they always made good money, but you know, working second shifts, working double shifts. It's just not what it used to be. And I have this real quick. I have this talk with one of our area high schools, not in my direct area, but I'm invited every year to a trades fair. And I go in there and it's in an upscale area. And the students don't want to be there because they don't understand how high tech manufacturing is, automation, the robotics. And it's not that they're going to take jobs away from future employees. They're adding jobs and they're adding value and they're adding great careers. So it's really hard sometimes, but you can't start at ninth grade. You have to start younger and earlier. And when we go to robotics competitions, making sure that you're, that the kids are there and that they're seeing what they're, older brothers and sisters are doing, and the parents were talking to them about apprenticeships and about things. So we're able to touch back that way a little bit, but we still focus mostly right now on the high schoolers and the college students in the area.
Awesome. Well, I have a question. So do you, is part of your job demystifying manufacturing and what it means to people? And do you feel, so this is a two-part question. So one, do you think that, is that part of your job? Two, are you feeling any kind of assistance from, like, you know, the other organizations that are also trying to help demystify, like, women in manufacturing and groups like theirs? Are you seeing any shifts that people absolutely think differently?
Absolutely. I think the industry, for the most part, gets it. I think that organizations get it. Women in manufacturing are tremendously helpful, especially in trying to get the women in STEM, and a lot of different events and scholarships. And, you know, there's for every, you know, we help all students, but for, gosh, when you see a girl, that's really embracing the STEM. We have in Hoffman Estates High School locally here, they have a girl underwater girls robotics team. And it's just, I went to hear them speak last week. They're just amazing. The one girl's going to OSU. They're amazing. I mean, they do all kinds of different things. So when you see that level of, hey, I'm a girl, I'm a boy, whatever, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Diversity. I'm so hyped and such a big fan of diverse in every way. I always was and I always will be. So the associations are trying. I think it's a process though. It's something that has to develop and it's starting to develop. And manufacturers are coming on board. I mean, with local radio and TV and everything that we're seeing out there now, it's scary. It's different. It's change. But change doesn't happen overnight. So the conversation has started. It's begun. And I think it's just going to develop from there. But yes, I think that everybody's on board. It's just finding their way and trying to find out how to make these changes happen and how to make them stay. That makes sense. Did I answer both questions?
Yeah.
What do you see as, because you know, we've all been around and worked with, you know, manufacturers, you know, our whole careers. And On the one hand, it's a very innovative group. On the other hand, at the same time, they can be very resistant to change and those types of things. Is that presenting any sort of challenge to filling that gap, that skills gap or that workforce gap? What do you run into there?
You really hit the nail on the head there. And that's really a lot of what we focus on.
Okay.
I would probably say one of the challenges that we have in our area, and I'm guessing probably other places as well, is small to mid-sized companies, manufacturing. Their resources are very limited, so they may not have an HR person, or even if they do, it just, you know, the resources are so limited.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we do try to promote what we call work-based learning experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going into senior year, possibly having an intern or kind of a try before you buy the summer after they graduate, mm-hmm. maybe going into an apprenticeship or whatever, companies just don't feel that they have the resources to train somebody, to bring somebody in. And I hear a lot, but if I bring them in and I train them, they're going to leave, which then leads to a different conversation about company culture and all of that other good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But so what we tend to focus on with GCamp a lot is what I like to consider as a bridge. Okay. Hmm. So we've got this workforce here and these kids are excited. Some of these kids, I mean, we still have to talk to some of them, but the kids that are interested are really excited and they really want to grab hold of this. And then you have the companies who really need that workforce, and you can't keep stealing from other companies because it just goes round and round and round. But so what we do is, well, we did prior to COVID was we tried to have these breakfasts and other activities to bring the two together so that companies can see, first of all, that a lot of these kids can hit the ground running. They already know how to program. They know how to run a machine. Now, maybe not a big Mazak,
mm-hmm.
but they've been trained enough so that they're around that, so they're comfortable. So and the experiences that we found for bigger companies or for small companies who have done this is never it's rarely ever has it been a negative experience. We have one small company and he doesn't even have to go to anything or visit a high school because he's made it a good experience for kids that every summer they just call him. Different kids from that high school. Hey, you got anything? You got anything? So, and so that's where I'm there. We are there with GCamp as a bridge to help that process, to help introduce that company to the teachers, the educators, the students, so that there's a connectivity there. Because until they're connected, until companies understand and are comfortable with that they are learning on things besides, they're not just hand drill presses and all of that. They actually have good equipment there. They build robots. They build electric cars and things like that. And it needs to be a two-way street. So you know, we need the manufacturers to reach out and take a chance. And knowing that GCamp, we're right there with them the whole way.
That's amazing. What are some of the tools and resources that are available to manufacturers?
Okay. Well, those tools are changing now. COVID, thank you very much. a lot of the tools that we work with companies with GCamp, you know, there's aside from what we do with the internships and all that, is we work with, we try to connect ourselves with everyone and everything else out there so that we know what is available. And of course, my history being my legislative loving person, you know, I try to keep abreast on all the changes in legislation and all of that. There's a lot of resources right now for apprenticeships. There's a lot of resources out there for training. And it doesn't mean that you have to go into a formal program. Sometimes it's easier, but there's a cost to that. The programs out there that we have in the area, ICAD, the German apprenticeship model, TMA, there's some really good training programs out there that will take care of everything for you, but there's also ways to do it on your own, and there's money to do it, to help you do it. It's a long process. I mean, it's not long-ish, 3 or 4 years, but it benefits everybody. It benefits the students, it benefits the companies, it benefits manufacturing. And what I like to tell everybody, if they say, you know, I'm gonna train somebody and he's gonna turn around and leave us, you're filling a bucket. You've got a bucket that just continually gets bigger and bigger. It fills bigger and bigger. You know, you don't want to be that hole that's draining it all the time. You know, you just want to keep filling the bucket. So if you lose somebody, you're probably going to get somebody else's trainee. So
people are afraid to give because they're going to be lacking. This is the opposite. It's like they're good. The more they give, the more they get back, right?
Yes. And it's, you know, when most companies come into this, it's about, we have this need, but then they'll come to a few events and then even they get excited because you see the excitement on these kids when they're racing their robots or they're, you know, battling their battle bots. And there's, it's just, you know, if I could get all the companies to send somebody to look at what is going on, it's amazing. It really is. And that's the future. I like to say that's your future star employee. You know, I try to introduce when we can, you know, you introduce to the teachers. When the one piece of advice I would give anybody out there, if they're really searching, is to go reach out to your local high school that has a program. And don't just focus on your manufacturing students. Okay, your autos kids make great maintenance. I hate to call maintenance mechanics, but your industrial mechanics, great career, good money. Autos guys, the guys in the autos classes are phenomenal. They're awesome, you know, or take an engineering intern. Because once the engineers go to college, whether it's community college or whether it's a four-year college, and we've had students come back and work over the summers and get hired, but without any hands-on, they're so much more valuable if they've had hands-on. So even if they've had engineering classes, teach them that hands-on, they're going to be such a valuable engineer and possibly for you. So
if only there was a topic you were passionate about, Kathleen.
I should have like cut back on that fourth cup. No, I'm kidding.
You're tied with Allison.
That
is awesome. Boy, you're preaching to the choir on the whole apprenticeship internship type thing. It's the hardest thing in the world to start, but it's really your own barrier to get past it. But once you do, speaking from my own experience, you look at how rewarding it is internally, you know, for your own staff, how everybody else kind of wakes up, because now you got somebody new to tell the old stories about what it was like when you started, you know, and you've got somebody new that knows a few tricks you hadn't even heard of yet, you know. So that is really cool.
You've heard of the silver tsunami. So that's, you know, I mean, it's a thing. And you'd be surprised at how many of these guys just, you know, you take a young kid under your wing like a grandson, and you impart this knowledge to him. We only have so much time to get that knowledge transfer. And
that's a good point.
But one small thing, one caveat, mm-hmm. In this generation, I'm a generational buff too. I like to read about the different generations. The Zoomers, as they're called, they know we have to be okay with learning from them too, because they know so much more than we do about this digital world that we're in, that if you listen to them and you need to respect them as you expect them to respect you, then they're going to teach you something too.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, that's one of the, if not the first generation of what, digital natives. It's a different world. I want to switch gears a little bit. We've talked a bunch of times before, and I know you have a soft spot in your heart for the smaller shops, the smaller manufacturers out there. What advice would you give to them? in this role, whether it's workforce, whatever it happens to be, you see it all in your travels. What direction would you point them in? What pointers would you give?
Especially right now, would be don't be afraid to look out for help, and don't be afraid to take a chance, because you're at some point you're going to have to, and you're going to have to take a chance on this generation because there's no one else. You know, if you go into a community college and you think that you're going to hire somebody that's coming out of school, they're all spoken for. So you have to expect that it's a two-way street. So you can't just hire somebody in. Just don't forget the training. And it doesn't have to be at the community college level. It could be, you know, TMA is a great training center there. But you have to train them, and you have to give them something tangible for them. And you can't be afraid of losing them, because again, it's about, you know, then we're going to go into the whole culture thing, but put yourself out there, and please. Okay. If there's one thing, and I'm going to say this because you guys are marketing, embrace social media, embrace it.
Thank you.
It's there. It's find your audience and know what your message is to that audience. Find someone to help you get that message out there and go look for them. You can't sit in your company and wait for them to come to you. They'll never find you. You have to find them.
Yeah.
Meet them in the middle. That's my.
Meet them where they hang out. They don't hang out where they used to.
Yeah.
You know, again, that generation that generation you're talking about is, you know, they are hanging out somewhere else, and they're adapting their jobs and their processes to what they're comfortable with. So you have to get there. That's excellent advice. Allison, I preach that all the time.
You know, and the other thing is, so companies are, they're changing every day. They're becoming automated. And sometimes, you know, it happens slower than we would like. But, you know, if something is as aesthetically pleasing as paint the walls inside your shop white or something, just make it, try to make it, I'm getting way into the weeds here, but make it a place that you would want to go. And if you were 16, 17, 18 years old, and go. And with that being said, one other thing. Yeah, I got lots of stuff.
That's all right. That's why you're here.
Look closely into your insurance. We have a hard time. We're starting to look into what we can do, because there are some insurers that will tell you that you can't hire on under 18, or companies assume that you can't hire on under 18. You can't have them out on the floor or anything. I would ask that you push that envelope a little bit, because there's going to be a 25-year-old that's going to walk in your shop. He's not going to know the last thing about doing anything, and he would be covered. But then you've got a 17-year-old who's had 3 years of machining who can't.
We have to,
there's some things that we're lagging in our own, in the Department of Labor, you know, updating things and just really getting everybody on board with embracing this this generation. So,
well, do you feel like educators are keeping up and offering the right programs? Do you feel like that continues to build, and, you know, like they've got it wired, or it's in process, or?
Well, you're asking I'd say the wrong person here, because we have great programs in our area. We really do. And if I could reach out further to all of these other areas, I tend to, as my husband calls it, nibbling at the edges. So the golden corridor is I-90 from here to there, whatever. And I go wherever anybody has a question. I'll talk to anybody. I may not be able to, you know, we've had grants that we've given out through our districts. We work primarily in a centralized area, but gosh, there's programs all around us that are starting, that are building, and class sizes, they're adding classes, which is always a good thing. So we're watching these trends. It doesn't happen as fast as we'd like. Obviously nothing does. And we don't have enough students coming through right now to fill the gaps, but it's a start. But it's hard when when I have students that are looking for opportunities and I have nowhere to put them because, you know, they're just, you know, they're not comfortable with it. They're not taking one on. They don't have anybody to train them. You know, we're looking into different ideas of how we can maybe stretch it out or whatever, but, you know, so it's, but there are great programs around here. Is there room for improvement? Always, always. And a lot of that comes down to one thing, and that's money. If Donald Trump could just print some more for us, that would be great. No, kidding. You know, schools, as much as people want to believe that schools have all this money in the world, there's something called the Perkins money, Perkins grant money, which comes from the federal government and comes through the state. And that's how most of the CTE or the career and technical education programs are funded. There's some other funds, but everything is earmarked for everything. If you think of it like buckets, you've got different buckets and you can only use from this bucket. You can't take money out of this bucket for this. So you only have a small, this amount of money to spend. I mean, gosh, you know, fabrication, that equipment's expensive. Trying to get that into some of these schools. They've got welding. There's a lot of machining. They've all got, you know, Haas has been great working with students and schools with their CNC machines. They're affordable for school districts. We're getting some robotic arms in there and all of that. So we just need the big manufacturing companies, for them to have a reason to step forward and to help getting some of this stuff into the schools, because they need the money to do that.
I mean, you bring up an interesting point, because one of the other common threads with manufacturers mm-hmm. is in general, is the real innovation doesn't come out until there's a crisis. It's like everybody loves to find that equilibrium point where, you know, we're making money, you can buy equipment, everybody's getting raises, bonus, whatever it happens to be. But forgive the French, until the shit hits the fan, it's really not serious. It'll be a little, it's still noise, it's not signal. And, you know, we saw it when COVID hit. You know, whenever there's some sort of big shock to the system, you know, then the big change is coming. Do you think that's where that might be required for the skills gap and to close that? I mean, if you ruled the education world for manufacturing and said, you know what, I'm bringing the biggest hammer I got to fix this thing, you know, might that, is there some big bang thing out there that might be required for this to, you know, to resolve itself? I'm just curious.
If you ask me, the one thing that comes up in my head a lot is the fact that we have so many people addressing the skills gap, but we need to centralize that. We need to bring everyone. I've always said this, and this is why I try to reach out. I mean, I'm a social butterfly of sorts. So I if I'm invited to something, I go to the Mold Builders Education meeting. I will go to everything because I feel like the more we can connect with everybody and centralize this so that if I'm doing something and it's working, you can take that same idea and run with it. And I'm fine with that. It's great.
I'll show you how. Yeah.
Together, you know, we've been talking with Manufacturing Renaissance about some ideas that they had, and it's like you can't feel like you own it. It's not just you, and you can't compete. We're not competing. We're all here for the same reason, and it's to build that workforce for companies. And the same right, finding good pathways for students. But we can't do it in a silo. We have to pull together.
Well, no. On that, we're getting close to the end and getting ready to wrap up, but I have a quick question regarding what you just said. So in that, are there, because I'm unfamiliar, are there a lot of nonprofits like yours around the country doing the same thing? Are you a rare bird? Do you work with others? I'm curious. I have no idea.
Well, I've been on the job a little under 3 years with GCAMP. Are there other people around the country doing this? Absolutely. Not exactly the same way. We connected with an organization, Manufacturing Alliance, I believe it was, up in Wisconsin. They're doing some great things. They work mostly with college age, and they have a lot of different companies that we're working with. We're not a membership-based organization. We have sponsorships. We have company sponsorships. We have some municipality sponsorships in our area, and they help fund what we do. But I'll help anybody in our area if it can help one of our companies in the area. It doesn't require that you are a member or whatever. There are other people, other organizations, a lot of them in Chicago. They may be a little different. Manufacturing Renaissance has a training facility, and they have training programs, and they work with inner city Chicago. And then there's just a lot of different organizations doing that. Valley Industrial Association works mainly with the companies, but they discuss a lot of the same things. You know, we've connected with them. There's a lot of different people that are doing different things in different ways. I'd love to have a huge meeting of minds and just, you know, but not everybody has time for that. I always make time for meetings. I know I'm weird. But in a perfect world, we would all get together and find that golden answer that we would probably never find, but find something that works. And that's the problem, of course, is that something that works here may not work there. So.
But it may spark an idea.
Absolutely.
You know, get them thinking about it. If only there was a platform or some way someone like you could connect with other people and share those ideas, perhaps while others could connect in and look as well. So you that mantle may be yours, Miss Kathleen. You may we may need your voice to be a bit louder and broadcast a bit further to bring some others to the fight.
Trying to get up to there to that silver
tsunami age. Not done yet, lady.
Answer has anything to do with it.
There you go. Oh goodness.
Well, Ray, you want to do the wrap up and then I'll take us out.
There you go. Well, hey, Kathleen, thanks so much for being with us today. What an education. Every time we get together, it's always enjoyable, and we always learn. I always learn from you and come out renewed and refreshed and doubly excited about our industry and our future because of your efforts. So thank you so much. To our listeners, we really hope you got some value today. We enjoy doing this for you, and that's why we're here. If you like it, please subscribe and follow us online. If you really like it, tell your friends to do the same thing, because we'd like to meet them too. And we're so glad you were here with us today.
And you know, just before we say goodbye, if you are not already, I suggest that you connect with Kathleen on LinkedIn. She is a LinkedIn thought leader and has a lot of good stuff to say and share. And also check out gcamp.org and go a step further and put in /blog. They have a ton of great resources and articles in there for manufacturers and educators. So run, don't walk, and check out gcamp because they're doing amazing things. So thank you all so much for listening. And remember, keep manufacturing out loud because we need you.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.